Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Door Number One or Door Number Two. I kind of feel like Bob Barker up here. Come on down. What will it be? Think about that as we consider our text today. From Genesis 15, look at these verses again. And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, look to the heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Again, our theme, door number one. Or door number two, I invite you to follow the outline that's printed for you in the green insert in the bulletin. Well, most of you have probably seen at one time or the other that old TV game show. The hosts ask the participants to come down and choose from door number one or curtain number one or curtain number two. Behind one door is a wonderful prize. But behind another door, it's something awful. And this game show could well be based upon an ancient legend entitled The Lady and the Tiger. Legends about an ancient competition. A man is placed on the ground level of an arena filled with spectators. They await his coming choice because the choice either means wonderful riches or a horrible death. Behind one door is a beautiful lady in a room filled with riches. Behind the other door is a man-eating tiger and certain death. There are only two doors, only two choices, and everything depends on the door he chooses. Martin Luther once said, there really are only two religions in the entire world. Only two doors. The two religions or doors are these, either good works or faith. And as was true with the lady and the tiger legend, one door means life and one door means death. Today we'll look at the religion of good works and the religion of faith and see where these doors lead us. First of all, contestants, door number one, the righteousness of man, good works. What does the world around us count as righteous? Oh, things like fighting for a just cause, taking care of people who are in need, that is, being a good person. And the opinion of probably 90% of the people on the street, when you ask them today, how do you hope to get to heaven? Their answer will be, by being good, by doing nice things. And as popular as this idea is, it is not the teaching of Holy Scripture. This view leads to false beliefs. And today we're just going to talk about two of them. The first false belief is this. We deserve special treatment from God. That is, if I do something good, I deserve a reward. Now, I shared the upcoming story in a lot longer form in one of my first sermons. But today I'll edit it as it illustrates this point. A man came to me when I was a pastor in Seattle in the 80s. He told me that he was planning to kill himself. He was in despair. When I asked him why, he said because he had been taught by a particular religious group that if he had enough faith and did enough good deeds, God would bless him. And he had tried, to muster up all the faith he could have. Unfortunately, he made faith into a good work. Something he did to get a reward. But in 1 month's time, he lost his farm to the bank His wife ran off with a neighbor, and his little girl got a disease that could take her life. And so his false belief had driven him to despair. If good deeds earn God's rewards, and he had tried so hard, and he was suffering these tragedies, how could he ever do enough? What hope was there? He decided. The truth is, none of us earn or deserve special treatment from God on the basis of our good deeds, our homemade righteousness. This false belief leads us nowhere but to heartbreak. And there's a second false belief that comes from this door number one, the righteousness of man, good works religion. This false belief is this: we get right with God on the basis of our deeds. That is, we earn the entryway into heaven on the basis of our good works. Jesus himself showed the falsehood of such a belief when he spoke to some Pharisees in Matthew 5:48 and said these words: "Then you must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." He said to these men who were convinced of their own righteousness based on their good deeds, "You want to get right with God on the basis of your good life? Fine. Then your test score must be 100%. Be perfect as God is perfect, and let's see how that works out for you." Whoops. It doesn't take any of us to look very far to realize it's impossible. And then there's the graphic passage from Isaiah 64:6 that reads, "All of our righteousness is like filthy rags." God tells us that our homemade righteousness stinks. The holy and almighty God is offended by our pride that tells us we can bribe God or buy him off with our paltry good works. Isaiah tells us that trying to get right with God on the basis of door number one, homemade righteousness, is not acceptable. Door number one doesn't work. Door number one, the righteousness of man, opens us up to all kinds of questions. Questions like these: how can I ever be sure I'm good enough? How can I ever be sure my good deeds are the right ones? Door number one leads us to a dead-end street. And Proverbs 14:12 speaks of this dead-end street when it says these words: "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death." Now remember the lady in the tiger legend? Door number one, a dependence on good works, is the tiger. But now let's see door number two, the righteousness of God that comes through faith. This door is what the Genesis 15 Old Testament lesson was speaking of today in verse 6. Listen again to Genesis 15:6. "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." Almighty God had promised 100-year-old Abram that he would be a father, that he would have many descendants, that from him would come the nation of Israel, that from him would come the Messiah, the Christ. And God creates faith in Abram's heart by the event described in today's Old Testament reading. Listen again. "And the Lord brought Abram outside and said, 'Look toward the heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." God's word of promise creates faith in Abram's heart. And Abram believes God to keep his word. And on the basis, listen carefully to this next sentence. On the basis of faith's object, Abram is counted righteous. That is, it's not Abram's faith that makes him righteous. It's what Abram's faith is in. Abram's faith is not in his own good deeds. Abram's faith is not in his strength of character. Abram's faith is not in his own unwavering trust. Abram's faith is a humble dependence on God's word of promise. And by trusting God, Abraham is declared by God to be righteous, to be right with God. Righteousness is God's act, not man's. Righteousness is given apart from good deeds, apart from works righteousness. This is precisely what St. Paul says in Romans 4. Listen to this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by his works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness is based on God's gift, and it's simply received by faith. And this is exactly what St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, so no one can boast. What was it that Abraham believed? What was his faith? He believed that God would keep his word, that God would give him a son in his old age, and that son was to be named Isaac. And Isaac's name in Hebrew means laughter. And oh, how 100-year-old Abram and 90-year-old Sarah must have laughed when the baby boy was born. And that's why, by the way, my clown persona is named Isaac. But Isaac was not the only son of the promise. Amazingly, some 2,000 years before the event, Abraham also trusted that God would send another son, his only son, the Savior. Listen to Jesus' own words about Abraham's faith in him from John 8. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Abraham saw it, and he was glad." Now comes the most important question of the sermon. If you've dozed off, or you've been listening to children make their happy sounds this morning, or if you're thinking about what Val Hall is going to get for her birthday, or the wild party John Pelling is going to be showing or throwing, now's the time to focus your attention right here and right now. Here is the question of the sermon. How can you be righteous? How can a sinner like you and me get right with a holy and almighty and perfect God? Will it be door number one? Or door number two? Will it be the door of good works? Or the door of trusting faith? Just like Abraham, you are made right with a holy and almighty God by trusting faith, by a humble dependence upon God's word of promise. Listen again to Genesis 15:6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Today, God is calling you. Yes, you. Not your neighbor. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not the person in the pew next to you. God is calling you to have as faith's object His promise to you in Jesus Christ. This same Jesus who lived a perfect life for you. This Jesus who offered Himself on Calvary's cross as a full payment for your sins and for mine. This Jesus who rose in death, victorious over death, victorious over sin, victorious of the devil, and everything He did for you. God's promise to you in Jesus has been kept. Today He calls you to lay aside your trust in your paltry good works and to only fully trust in what Jesus has done for you. Referring to Abram and applying his faith to our lives, listen to what St. Paul says in Romans 4. Paul says, "This is why it was counted to him, Abram, as righteousness. The words 'it was counted to him' were written not for him alone, but they were written for us, to whom God will count righteousness. For us who believed in him who raised Jesus from the dead, he was delivered to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification." Again, righteousness depends on what God does for us, not upon what we do for ourselves. Well, we're rounding third and heading toward home. Our final story. When I was a little boy, I would often go for a walk with my father in the cow pastures around our farm in Green Acres, Washington. East of Spokane. Sometimes I had trouble keeping up with Dad because he walked a lot faster than I did, and sometimes I would stumble and fall in the uneven pasture. I tried to grab a hold onto his hand, but it was too big. The best I could do from time to time was grab onto his pinky, but even at that point, I couldn't hold on. One day, after a slip in a freshly laid manure cow pie, my dad laughed and said, "Son, I think if I held your hand, you wouldn't fall." And later, with this strong and calloused farmer's hand wrapped around my little one, I did just fine. My friends, it all depends on who's holding your hand. Being right with God does not depend on your good deeds, your strong faith, your grip on God's little finger. No! That's door number one, good works. Being right with God is all about His promise in Jesus, His grip on us, His nail-pierced hands wrapped firmly around us. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's door number two, the righteousness that comes through faith. Like Abraham, we are made righteous by God's grace through faith. That is the only door, the only door for all of us to walk through from now until life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now